seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
I'm Patrick Bedevia, host of IT Minute. Today I'm going to talk to you about what you can do to work with family in business. It can be annoying, but there's ways to make it work.
The first time I worked with my family, I made every single possible mistake you can make. And it was, I failed miserably. My sister and I were in business together back in 2003 or 2004. And it didn't work out because I was not mature enough as an entrepreneur to be able to work with family. I made so many different mistakes, and over the years progressing, and now my sister and I are back in business together in different types of a role. And I'll explain all the different parts and how you go about doing that. She does very good for herself. She runs her own financial practice out of Valencia, California, has her own office. Her and her husband, Siamak, Poland and Siamak. Matter of fact, you can go online and look up some of her content. But how do you work with family? So let's start off. First of all, there's different roles when you're working with family. The most common role that you have may be, you know, a brother and a sister starting a business together, and it's 50-50. So it's financial business partner. That's one. The second one may be a father hires a son to work for him. A brother hires a sister to work for her, for him, as a home office support employee. Then it's, you know, a sales relationship. You're working on the sales team, selling a product, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to try to explain every one of these points that I have on how to make that relationship be better and where the mistakes are commonly made. So that'll help out on each one of these relationships, how to go about doing that. So let's start off with the most important thing. Number one, the place where the biggest mistakes happen, the place where you hear brothers and sisters never talking to each other, brother and brother, mom and dad, son and father, you know, uncle and nephew, they don't talk to each other anymore. It comes, number one, is money problems. Money, financial problems is the one thing above everything when you work together. And unfortunately, I have friends who have businesses, and one of the individual that I was talking to, you know, he had a relative that was working inside, and it was a cash business, and every month he got caught stealing cash and ended up being very big turmoil because then the other person was working there and they had to make something work and that person had to go. And then, you know, he was frustrated. He was furious on what that happened and how that took place. And you hear, you know, I don't want to do business with you anymore. And it's a buyout. Then it's this person. It's very problematic when it comes down to the money. So what do you do with the money part? A few things. One, when it comes down to money, everything's about accountability. Everything's about accountability, and there's normally a neutral person to help manage and finances. For instance, imagine if me and my brother run a business together and my wife handles the finances. He doesn't like the fact that my wife handles the finances because he may see what's happening here, and there's a little bit of concern there. Well, we need to make sure someone neutral runs the finances instead of having somebody running the finances that's on one side. Now, if it's two brothers and a sister runs the finances, that could work because she's right in the middle. She's not going to favor anybody. It's a neutral character. You may get somebody that's a non-relative that runs the finances. Another thing, lending money to family members is probably, in my opinion, one of the worst things you can do when you're in business with family. I highly, highly, highly discourage lending money to family. My rule of thumb with money has always been never lend, always give. Here's why. The reason why I don't believe in lending money to family is because I don't want to go to a Christmas party seeing a sibling, seeing a brother, seeing an uncle, seeing my child, my son, saying he owes me $3,000. He owes me $30,000. And while we're having dinner, say, when are you going to pay me my $30,000? I don't want to be a bill collector with family. It typically, and the other person is like, man, I'm sick and tired of every time I see you at a birthday party, you ask me about money. So I made a rule many years ago where I said, I don't lend money anymore. I generally don't lend, period, to family. But if I do, I give 10% with no expectation of the money back. Meaning, you want $10,000, I'll consider giving you $500, but you never need to give that money back to me. That's my motto when it comes down to money. So money's typically the problem that you have. The more accountability there is to the money side, the less problems you're going to have. The more the money side is, something that someone is leaning towards one side, you're going to have some problems that are going to come up later on. Next one. From the beginning, when you work together, you got to manage expectations from the beginning. From the beginning, you're working together with that family member. You got to manage the expectations. Listen, my wife and I, we work together every single day. I'm a big fan of, an advocate of, having couples work together at the home office and in the field. Our company is probably predominantly ran by couples, husband and wife teams that do very, very well for themselves. And at the home office, I like hiring people where husband and wife work together collectively at the home office support. So my wife and I work together. How do we make this happen? Here's what happened. One, we couldn't be in the same office for too long. I'm loud, she's not. She's calm, I'm more, you know, loud. You know, I may be a little bit more stronger when it's coming down to negotiating all this other stuff, and she may be complete opposite. So I can't be in the same office with you because I don't get things done. No problem. We need to know that up front. I'm the CEO, she runs operations, and I tell her, I said, babe, in the house, you run the show. Whatever furniture you want to buy, you buy it. Whatever you want to buy with TV, all this other stuff, you buy it. But when it's at work, I'm the CEO, your operations, we don't talk at work as a husband and wife. We talk as business, as you are the operations, I'm the CEO. So if I'm having a meeting, board meeting, my wife is being held accountable the same way as everybody else is, because we're running a company together. We're running an operation together. Now, this was difficult for the first 3-6 months, but then afterwards, we've had no problems with this because we manage expectation up front. When you work with somebody, let's just say a brother's coming or a sister's coming to work with you, I'm gonna say, listen, this is our role. One of the best things I learned from a mentor 12 years ago, a gentleman's name was Tim. He said, we have the salt shaker, we have the pepper. Salt is family, pepper is business. Today, we're setting aside the salt, we're only talking pepper. Here is what you're not doing good at, and this needs to improve. I'm talking purely business performance. This is not working out, what are we gonna do with this? Boom. Then set aside the pepper at the end, bring the salt in and say, I love you, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my mom, you're my dad, you're my kid, you're my son, you're my daughter. I love you, but at the same time, we're running a business, perfect. Let's get back to work, we're good to go, okay? So it's knowing that you're managing all the expectations up front rather than having it coming up later on. Next point, more logic, less emotion. Believe it or not, it's less emotion, more logic. So when you're running a business together, it's trying to stay very accountable, very logical. After hours, it's emotional. I can't believe you're going through this, all this other stuff. Business is more logic, business is numbers. If you don't run a business right, you will be out of business. And guess who's emotionally affected by it? Everybody. So you gotta logically do all the right things. If a person is not running their department correctly, that's a logical mistake. You need to work on that department. Whether you're brother, sister, kid, son, daughter, brother, mom, doesn't matter. That department needs to run tighter, more logic, less emotion. After hours, more emotion, less logic, because it's more love, et cetera, et cetera. There you have it. Now, on the complete opposite side, lots of complimenting is my next point, is compliment. Hey, you did right. This was good. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate the respect. I sent a message out the other day to one of the guys I work with, and I said, you know, I was in a convention, insurance convention 4 years ago, and I met this family who run an insurance practice, and their son is with them now. They're 75 years old, happily married for 45 years. And I said, hey, how is it that you have your son in the business, your wife is in the business with you, you guys run it together, you're happily married, your daughter-in-law's in the business, your daughter's in the business, your daughter's husband, which is your son-in-law's in the business. How did you do this? How did you make this work? He says, there's three words we use at our office all the time. Please, thank you, and you're welcome. Please, thank you, and you're welcome. Sometimes family, when they talk to family and you say, can you get this for me? We get it for them. We don't say thank you because it's family. You're supposed to do it for me. No, that's not feeling appreciated. So thank you, no problem, you're welcome. Could you please get this for me? Yes, so it's the etiquette, compliment communication that you're having with each other as well. Next point, typically when there's an issue, let's just say a partner or one of the relationships, boss, son, somebody like that, when there's a challenge that takes place, it's always good to have a middle man that comes in between to saying, hey, what's going on over here? Let's bounce this idea off you. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's what you're thinking about. Who do you think is right? I like three. Three is a good number. So if two people are partners and they're relatives, the third one shouldn't be a relative. One of the best examples is one of my good friends, they run a transportation company. And let's just say they run a very, very good transportation company. They do a phenomenal job. There's two relatives and there's one best friend. The best friend tends to keep everybody honest. Now, the way they work is there's always a mediator. Hey, I don't think you're right on what you did. I agree with him because of XYZ. I agree with her because of XYZ. Okay, fair enough. And no one's, you know, feeling I'm too sensitive. I can't believe you took his side, her side. No, because it's a neutral character that sometimes we all need to be called on and says, you did not do the right thing. And we move forward with that. It kind of helps all the relationships staying together. You may have questions about that. If you do, I'll address them because we're doing Facebook mentions while we're doing this. And at the end, I'm going to do some Q&A. We got some people that are watching this while we're doing this as well. Okay, so next, no favoritism. People will say, well, you know, when my sister first started working with our company, they said, Pat's going to favor her. Pat's going to do this. Pat's going to do that, you know, because it's his sister. And you ask my sister will probably say, Pat doesn't favor, he's probably tougher on me. She may say that. I don't have favorites because in the world of performance, it's about results. Performance is about results. Now, I want to see her win in a big way. I want to see family, wants to see family win in a big way, especially when everybody's vested together and it's a healthy environment. But if you show favorites, then you're going to lose your relationship with the other people that have been with you for years who have earned your loyalty. And you've earned their loyalty, and they may say, well, if he's got a favorite, man, I mean, I'm never going to win. You know how some of these companies that you hear the story, oh, you know, I was there for 22 years, a good friend of mine died. I was there for 22 years, I did very well, and then all of a sudden, he decided to give my job to his wife, and I lost the job. That's favoritism. I'm not a fan of that, because when you do that, all the other people that are part of the company are going to sit there and says, this guy favors people. This girl favors people. I don't want to work for a guy that favors people. It's not healthy. It's not smart. It's not wise, it's not intelligent. It hurts every single person if there's favoritism towards somebody. It's almost like the coach being a father and you got kids, 12 kids that are playing for your basketball team and you keep giving your son more time and he hasn't earned it yet. Everybody else is getting upset saying, why are you giving him more time? No favoritism when you're running with family. Doesn't help anybody. Transparency, there's gotta be transparency. When it's partnership, it's pure transparency. Hey, I'm not happy about what's going on with this. One of the things I love what Steve Alfred and Armin do is they are so transparent with each other. I've been in many of their board meetings, and when they have anytime I get a call and they want to have a real strong conversation because something's going on, they'll bring me in as a mediator, and we'll sit down and we have a conversation together. Steve's very good at doing this. But one of the things I admire about them and what they do, they're brutally honest with each other. Not disrespectful. Brutal honesty doesn't mean you disrespect. They love each. They genuinely love one another. Like they would take a bullet, literally. They would take a bullet for one another. They know what I mean by that story when I say literally. But they're brutally honest with one another. There is not a hidden anything like that. They're all brutally honest. You know, you don't do this. Why don't you do that? And we used to come over here. What happened to those days? You used to work hard. You used to be tougher. You need to be. It's nonstop. And if you start that right off the bat, people's skin is thicker. I think sometimes partnership is too sensitive, worrying about rubbing people the wrong way, and business goes out of business. Do you want the business to go out of business just because you were afraid to call people out? Pure transparency when you're running business because everybody needs to pull their own weight. You're still running a business together. Next, no privileges. No privileges. I've worked at places before myself where the child, the son I'm competing with, he had privileges over I did. Or, you know, you work places where this daughter has privileges or this brother has privileges. Nobody likes privileges. It's almost like the favoritism thing. But sometimes they take Thursday, Friday off and go golf. And that's not necessarily favoritism. That's privileges they have that you may not. They take 3-hour lunches. You're supposed to be back within 90 minutes. It's a different story. So it's important to not have any type of privileges. So another one is for me, like, let's just say people ask me a question. They say, Pat, if you have, you know, when your kids later on want to go into business, what are you going to do with your kids that go on into business? Okay. I'm a big fan of putting a very strong team together. I have an incredible counsel team. My attorneys, I really respect them. They're very good at what they do. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal fees on attorneys that wasted my resources. These guys are professional attorneys that we have. They're more expensive, but they're professionals. I love what they do. Our accounting firm, I respect what our accounting firm does. The advisory board that I have around me when it comes down to operations, I respect them tremendously. Let's just say if my son was to want to work with me, he would never report directly to me. He just wouldn't. He would never report directly to me. If my son said, Dad, I want to go into business with you and I want us to start a business together. It's his first venture. I may do business, some like financial services. He may want to come and work at the firm. If he's 18, I would generally have him go get another job and do some stuff. Or if he is going to work with me as an intern while he's going to school, he may work and report under somebody. There is no reporting to me at all whatsoever. If he decides to run a business, I may fund it and give him $500,000. But that business will be owned and ran and operated by the attorneys that I have, by the accountants that I have, by the board of advisors that I have, advisory board that I have. They'll direct him. He's not coming to me for accountability, nothing. All the money accountability will go to him. So now if another person's working and it's a brother or sister, they decided to go into business with you and you're mentoring them, say in real estate, you're teaching your brother how to sell real estate, you're teaching your sister how to sell real estate. You could teach them how to sell real estate, could teach them how to sell insurance, in our case, or financial services, but the direct report will generally not be myself because I'd have somebody else do the direct report to challenge, push. The less of the challenging and the pushing is coming from you if that's the role, not partnership. If it's partnership, everybody calls everybody up. But it's somebody that you may be an executive and the other person's coming to move up and become an executive, it's a better idea for them to be mentored and for them to report to somebody else. Not you. It helps out with the relationship at the beginning stages, more or less, because as that person is going up in leadership, they realize how real business is. They realize I need to have a thicker skin. I'm a little too sensitive. I'm a little too this. And we all get better. Every one of us gets better. And then eventually they get to a different level. Mari was talking about, you know, he's gone through so many different interviews to find a personal assistant for me. And we're looking for an executive assistant right now, strong one. We have people that some want to fly in from other parts of the world, how do whatever it takes to be your executive assistant, et cetera, et cetera. Some are sending emails saying, I heard you wanted an assistant, I want to work with you. And we were sitting going through some of the points. I said, there's one thing that will not work. If the person is an emotional wreck, it's just not going to work because we're growing, we got things going on, it's just not going to work. And I said, sometimes it's good to work with somebody and they have to learn how to get a thicker skin so they know how to work with that type of an environment, then you bring them in. I'm more about that than I am more about all of a sudden getting somebody to work direct report to me because I'm tougher to work with because I'm going to push more, I'm going to expect more. And sometimes when you're tougher to work with and you push more, expect more, someone close to you may not be willing to step up to that. So it's good for them to go through a coaching mentoring session until it comes down to you directly working with them. Everybody needs to earn their way up. Everybody in the company needs to earn their way up. That goes back to no favoritism. Now, managing expectation up front, that's all about from the beginning, explaining the difference and managing expectation at the front. Trust is very critical. Let's talk about trust. I'm about trust, and trust isn't something that's developed overnight. Trust typically takes a long time to develop, and trust isn't just financial trust. Trust is to know that I can trust somebody to mentor me and understand how I am as a human being and how I need to be spoken to and how I need to. Sometimes that trust takes a little bit of while for business. You may be in having a brother or sister you've had for a long time, but in business, it's almost a new relationship that's being built outside of the personal family relationship that you had. This is a new business relationship that's being created, and you need to know that the new business relationship is, okay, I have a son. I love my son. I love my son to death. He starts playing for me. He wants to play basketball, but I don't trust the fact that he's willing to play at his level, highest level, and he doesn't screen. He's just a ball hogger. He's all about him. He wants a ball. That trust hasn't been built with the team yet. That needs to develop. So trust is very critical as you're working with family members to develop that to the next level as well. Long-term vision to me is extremely, extremely critical. I like to sit down and whoever I'm doing business with, it's by far the easiest way to clarify the relationship. I like to sit down and say, hey, Mario, what do you want long-term? You know, when Mario and I spoke many years ago, when Mario and I used to work together, I mentored him. How many years did I mentor you, by the way? What was
10 years.
How long ago was it before you left and you came back for that 3-month period? Was that 6 years?
Yes.
At that point, let's just say 6 years is what it was. And then Mario called me and he came and we sat down and went to this nice restaurant in Ventura. It was an Israeli restaurant. I don't know what the name of the place
was.
What was it?
It was like a Mediterranean habit or something.
I don't know what it was. All I know is they had incredible liver is what they had. I know most of you guys are probably disgusted by liver.
Ventura.
I don't remember the name. It was phenomenal. Israeli. Some of you guys who are from there, you know what that place is. It's phenomenal. And I said, Mario, what do you want? Forget about what I'm doing. Forget about what this person's doing. What does Mario want? And Mario went through the stuff that he wants to talk about. He says, this is what I want. I said, then forget about everybody else's goal. That's yours. Let's make this happen. Fair enough. Hey, what do you want? Here's what I want. And sometimes people don't know what they want, and you got to help them. If you're the leader, you got to help them clarify on what they want. So brother, partner, what do you want to do with this? My long-term idea is to become a millionaire and do this. Okay, this is what I want to do. Now, what do you want? You know, I just want to get to $100,000 of your income, and, you know, I want to spend more time with the family. Great. Now, let's help you get to this point. Now, what do you want? So whatever it is, once you find out what you want, your goal, if you're the leader, is to constantly bring you back and remind on why we're doing this and what do we want. Hey, I want to work with family because I want us to be around each other for the rest of our lives. I just love you. You're my family. I feel the same way. Let's make sure this happens, but I also want your dreams and goals to become reality based on the efforts that you're putting in. No problem. Let's go make this work. So long-term vision helps a lot of things get clear if you talk about it up front and understand what their long-term goal, their long-term why is, their long-term vision is for what they want to do. So long-term vision is very, very critical. Communication is by far the biggest one. There's nothing worse than, you know how a husband and wife know how to rub the other one the wrong way, okay? I'm not talking physically, you know, extracurricular activities. I'm talking about like literally, you know how to rub the other person the wrong way. So most wives know how to tick off the husband. It's one comment or one thing you say, right? Most husbands know how to tick off the wife. Most wives know when the husband is upset. Most husbands know when the wife is upset. In a working environment, you know, to say something like, I just don't want to talk, I'm going home, let's not talk anymore, da, 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 da. No, that's not healthy. We're mature, we need to communicate. It's important to be communicating as you're going through and you're dealing with somebody that's in business with you. Communication is extremely critical. The more open you are with communication and the more you over-communicate, the better you're going to have a chance of sustaining that relationship. So it's not a, we try to work together, didn't work, boom, next. We try to do this together, didn't work, next. We try to do this together, didn't work, next. We try to do this, it didn't work, next. No, communication typically helps. And by the way, Mario, what's going on? Did it die? Did the battery die?
Or? It was too much power for the...
Too much power for what? Okay, got it. Let's continue. So the book I suggest for this is called Crucial Conversations. It's a phenomenal book. 2 million copies sold. I actually went to a course that you teach Crucial Conversations. And I remember at this Crucial Conversations, one of the families that was there, it was the mother and her three daughters and son. They were all there together. And it was classic watching this because they were all talking about problems that they have, issues that they have, challenges that they have. It was purely transparent. As they were talking about, but they said the biggest problem was communication. That's a great book to read while you're working with your own family together. Then the next thing is not ignoring, addressing things up front. Again, it goes back to the same thing I just talked about right now. And then knowing at the end of the day that your relationship with your family is by far more important than the business. Now, saying that, this doesn't mean if somebody steals from you, you let them continuously steal from you because they're your son or they're your daughter. No. This is not the movie Horrible Bosses. If you remember Horrible Bosses, where, what's his name? Horrible Bosses, Colin Farrell is the son that takes money from the dad's business and you keep letting him do that because he's got bad habits, all this stuff. No, not at all. Family's important. Business is going to pay the bills, but family's important. It's important if there is no major disastrous issues that takes place with the family. It's important for the relationship to be sustained as well at the same time. And knowing there is the additional time after work, hey, let's go watch the movie. Let's go hang out. What are you guys doing this Sunday for barbecue? What are we doing with family? That can't cut. Because if that cuts, the whole purpose of going into business together is to help the relationship go higher so we can spend more time together, have a better family life. It can't be, I just don't want to talk about, I just don't want to, no. We still have a family to run. We still got blood. We still got things that we're doing together. Knowing how to balance those two things together. Let me find out from Mario here. Mario, did the phone die or what happened with the phone?
The broadcast stopped by itself.
Really? Yeah. Can I see the phone real quick? Sure. Let me see the phone real quick here. Oh, so completely died. So it didn't charge at all.
No, it was, but it was more power than the battery was receiving.
So what stopped. You're telling me is that Android charger that you gave me is a terrible charger, is sure. What you're telling me. So that's what you're really telling me. Okay, so we didn't get a chance to do mentions. and ask some of the questions. We got to get Mario to learn how to use Apple iPhone, which is the most user-friendly phone, but he decides to connect it with a Droid charger and completely crashes my phone. This last 20 seconds is sponsored by Mario Aguilar for losing the battery charge in my phone. Mario, get some love for it. How about that? It is a sensitive subject, so I know a lot of people cringe when it's working with family, but I've done it for a long time and it's worked so effectively now that I know what to do and what not to do. Thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.